I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver. This is thecommentary.ca. Sturla Gunnarsson joins me now. He is one of the country's best-known and prominent filmmakers. He's the director of the soon-to-open Force of Nature, the David Suzuki movie. It's screened at the Toronto and Vancouver International Film Festivals and will open nationally Friday the 15th of October. The film, presented by E1 Films, tells Suzuki's story, and throughout the film is a lecture he gives about his views on life, the environment, and more. It's already won an award at the Toronto Festival, and the word on the film has been quite good. Sturla Gunnarsson is a multiple award-winning director. His films include The Epic Beowulf and Grendel, Rare Birds, and Such a Long Journey. He also directed the documentary Air India 182, as well episodes of television series such as Defying Gravity, Degrassi, The Next Generation, Da Vinci's Inquest, and more. He joins me from here in Vancouver. $1 from every ticket sale of Force of Nature will be donated to the David Suzuki Foundation. For more information, visit davidsuzuki.org, as well as Mr. Gunnarsson's website, sturlagunnarsson.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Sturla Gunnarsson. Good morning, Mr. Gunnarsson.
Good morning, Joe. Nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Do you live in Vancouver?
No, I live in Toronto, but I grew up in Vancouver.
Yeah. How often do you come out here?
Frequently. Most of my relatives are still here, and I shoot something out here at least once or twice a year. And, you know, I like to hook into a salmon at least once a year, too.
It's a good year for it.
Well, good year for sockeye.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. How did you come to do this film?
Well, it was, I was asked to meet with David Suzuki by Laszlo Barna, who's the head of production at Entertainment One. And Laszlo had this idea that he wanted to make a film with David, but he didn't exactly know what it would be. And I was kind of keen to meet him because I had been, I was an undergrad at UBC when David was a professor there. And though I didn't know him, I sort of admired him. He was a real kind of rock star professor, and a lot of his ideas at the time were considered quite radical, and they were ideas that I shared. And then, you know, sort of over the course of 30 years, most of his predictions have come to pass, and he's proven to have been right about so many things. And so I didn't really know whether there was a film to be made or not, but I was keen to meet him after 30 years, and so I did. And we met, and we got on very well. We discussed a lot of things, a lot of big kind of metaphysical ideas. David had this notion of making a film that kind of the history of time from the Big Bang to the appearance of life on Earth, and we had great long conversations, which I enjoyed. But out of those conversations, what I found the most fascinating was David as a human being, and I realized that, you know, even with the hundreds of hours of audiovisual materials on Suzuki that have been made over the years, that nobody had actually made a film about him. And so that was kind of where my interest began. And I, you know, it struck me that he was at a very unique time in his life because on the one hand, he was really on fire trying to get the message out. You know, I saw him crisscrossing the country, you know, speaking and to big audiences and small audiences, trying to make people see the sort of the urgency of our circumstance and to give them hope and a sort of sense of what's possible. And on the other hand, you know, he was, you know, approaching his 75th birthday and very much contemplating mortality and, you know, taking stock of his life. And there was a very reflective quality, which I don't think was there probably a year or two ago. And those were the sort of the qualities that really appealed to me, and that was the genesis of the film.
Do we learn anything new about Suzuki?
It's a very intimate film. It's not the David Suzuki you thought you knew. I don't think that we learn any. There's no sort of startling revelations of fact, but what we discover about him is we sort of see a much more human side of him. We see, you know, the film kind of walks through the major turning points in his life, the things that sort of forged and shaped him, made him who he is, and you see you know, the sort of powerful effects of certain things, like the internment had on him, seeing his father, you know, humiliated and being, you know, having their home taken away and being sent into a refugee camp, things like that, that he talks about with a kind of candor that I've never seen before.
His family, it's a rather private one, isn't it?
Well, I mean, he's currently, you know, he's married and has two daughters. This is his second marriage. He had a first marriage, and which he has three children by, and of course then his mother and his father, both of whom have passed. But I think in the film, the relationship with his father really emerges as a central relationship. We certainly touch on both of his marriages and his children. But the film is primarily a sort of a biography of the ideas. It's not really sort of an Oprah. It's not an Oprah biography.
I read somewhere that you wanted to film the birth of his grandchild.
Well, no, David thought I did. you know, we. It was the time that we sort of set aside for making this film was kind of, it was a 9-month window that around during the time that he was preparing his legacy lecture and his grandson, as it turned out, his grandson by his daughter Severn was born. I had wanted to be around the family at the time because I thought it would be interesting, you know, Severn is married to a Haida guy from Haida Gwaii, so, you know, his parents were going to be there, and so it was a big kind of family gathering, and I thought possibly a nice insight into the family. But David got it into his head that I wanted to see the crowning of the head and you know, sort of blood and all, and I'm not sure who was more horrified by the thought, Severn or myself.
Yeah.
That's David. He's a scientist, you know. When I said the birth, he took it very literally.
Yeah. He also thought that the film might look like An Inconvenient Truth with slides. How did you craft the film and not make it look like that?
Well, you know, An Inconvenient Truth is a very effective, I think, PowerPoint presentation, and the visualization of it is all kind of illustrative. It's the imagery illustrates the points, and I think it was, you know, it was a powerful film at its time. My interest was much more the sort of the human dimension and the dramatic side of it. So, I mean, there is a last lecture. What David said, you know, sort of my legacy, what I want to say before I die, and we designed that. It's quite beautiful and theatrical. It's more really, it's more operatic than Inconvenient Truth, for example. And the imagery isn't it's not illustrating points so much as it is kind of amplifying the emotion of what's being discussed and kind of speaking to the themes. The images that we used were all sort of gathered during the 9 months that I traveled with him all over the world. So, I mean, you know, I think there's sort of obvious comparisons. Both are anchored in a lecture, but I think in the case of this film, I think it's just a more intimate, more personal narrative.
What's he like to travel with, Suzuki?
Oh, we had a great time. He and I are both avid fishermen, so we fished everywhere. And, you know, he's a very, very fit, healthy guy. He's, you know, he's 74 years old, and, you know, we climbed a mountain together. He was, you know, he's very game. He's hardworking. You know, the crew likes him. He's everything you'd hope for in somebody that you're going to work with.
He doesn't seem like he's 75, does he?
Well, that's 75. Yeah. He's a very healthy and vibrant 75, or 74, I should say. He's not 75 yet.
Yeah. I mentioned that you, off the top, that you've directed series TV, you've directed feature films, you've got this documentary. Do you have a preference as to how you work?
No, I really enjoy the fact that I have the ability to move from genres and different genres, different platforms. I enjoy that, you know, some projects take me 7 weeks from beginning to end, and some take 7 years. I like to tell a good story, and I like to be involved in making films that that illuminate the human condition.
And you have the luxury of getting to choose the projects you want to do?
Well, you know, it's show business. It's always a balance. Some of the films that I make are generated by myself. Some of them are offers from other people. I don't do anything that I have any kind of, moral or ethical reservations about. I have the good fortune of being able to not sort of go down that road.
As a filmmaker, what motivates you to work?
Well, I think we all have a sort of a deep need to express ourselves, and I'm just lucky that I found an outlet for that. So I love to work. I'm happiest on a film set. That's where I live. That's where I feel like I'm firing on all cylinders.
Who in film did you grow up admiring? Directors and the sort?
Oh, God, so many. I mean, I love Kurosawa when I was growing up. Bergman, Renoir, the French New Wave, the Germans, Fassbinder, Wenders, all those guys.
The reaction to Force of Nature has been pretty good so far, hasn't it?
It's been humbling. I knew that it was going to be kind of a populist film, but I didn't expect that people would be so moved by it. We won the People's Choice Award at TIFF, and every screening I've been at, it just really seems to speak to people's hearts. I guess it's unusual that to make a hopeful film about the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah. Who came up with the title?
I did.
Yeah.
After much sort of dithering and going through many different possibilities.
Now, you directed it, produced, and did the screenplay for the film. I'm assuming that Suzuki wrote the lecture himself. Did you have to cut it in any way? I guess you did for time, but in terms of crafting the film together, it seemed to work. Is material for you, it worked well?
Well, we shot the lecture last at the tail end of our journey together, and by the time David delivered the lecture, there had probably been 30 at least iterations of it. I was his editor, if you like. I mean, he would give it to me, I would propose cuts, he would, it went back and forth a lot, so that by the time he delivered the lecture, it had been distilled a lot, and also I had a pretty good idea how I wanted it to weave with the biographical part of the film. So the process of working together on the lecture allowed me to integrate it fully into the film. And then, of course, we didn't use the whole lecture in the film. I think the lecture ran about an hour, I think almost 70 minutes, and I think we may have used about half of that. But when the DVD comes out, it will have the full lecture on it as one of the bonus features.
I mean, just thinking about his life, you mentioned, the internment, and then you think about when he was a professor in the 60s, and then, of course, the TV career that we're probably more familiar with. His is, it's a very Canadian story, isn't it?
I think David is a profoundly Canadian, in fact, a profoundly BC person. His story in every sense. I mean, he, you know, the internment, the fact that he has sort of been touched, I think, by the sort of the mystery and the awe of the British Columbia landscape, I think, changed him deeply. I think his, you know, he after the internment, they went to Ontario, and then he began his science career at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which is interesting because it was, you know, the place that sort of created him as a scientist is the place that enriched the uranium that destroyed the land of his ancestors. It was ground zero for the Manhattan Project. So, you know, and this is a recurring theme throughout his life, this sort of the idea of creation flowing from destruction. You know, after that, after Oak Ridge, he came to British Columbia, started his career here. He was in Berkeley at the People's Park, you know, at the beginning of the Cultural Revolution, and then he was very much a part of the birth of the environmental movement here in BC with Greenpeace. And, of course, in the latter part of his career, his kinship with First Nations and his sort of embrace of First Nations worldview, again, becomes a very British Columbia type of a story.
What's next for you, Sterla?
I'm not sure. I'm working on a screenplay that I'm trying to suspend my disbelief enough to make. I'm working on a documentary about Omar Khadr, which is sort of, you know, in the early stages. You know, I think basically what's next for me is to launch this film and let it walk on its own two feet and go to Jamaica and sit on a beach for a while.
It's been such a pleasure to talk to you today. Continued good luck with the film.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. The websites for more, davidsuzuki.org, sterlagunderson.com. E1 Films presents Force of Nature, the David Suzuki movie, which opens nationally Friday the 15th of October, 2010. The screenwriter, producer, and director of the film, Sterla Gunnarsson, joins me from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.